Hello, today is May 23rd, 2023, and this is the New Bedford Standard Times with your reader, Mary. Let's start off with the weather for the week. Today's weather will be sunshiny, high of 66, low of 44. Wednesday is going to be mostly sunny, high of 67, low of 50. Thursday, breezy in the morning with sunshine coming in, high of 64, low of 41. Friday is going to be high of 67 with some sun and clouds, low 45. Saturday warming up nicely, pleasant with abundant sunshine, high of 72, low of 50. Let's check out the front page stories. Our first story, South Coast Winds Project is under review. An offshore wind company's seeking permits for new projects. Officials in New Bedford are weighing in on the impact on the fishing industry. South Coast Wind, formerly Mayflower Wind, is proposing a 2,400-megawatt offshore wind project located 30 miles south of Martha's Vineyard. New Bedford Port Authority Executive Director Gordon Carr is calling for South Coast Wind to follow Vineyard Wind's lead in support of local fisheries, programs, and projects. Vineyard Wind is closing in on construction of its wind farm. In a letter to the Federal Bureau of Ocean Energy Management that oversees the process, Carr responded to the request for comments about South Coast's draft environmental impact statement, outlining the impact of the project. He wrote that the primary concern with the process to date is the lack of definitive, enforceable measures relative to the fisheries mitigation. New Bedford and other ports stand to benefit financially, but the impact on the fishing is a concern. Carr said South Coast Wind should consider developing a separate fisheries innovation fund, similar to Vineyard Wind's mitigation plan, to support local fisheries programs and projects. Similar to Vineyard Wind, South Coast Wind has deployed a robust fisheries liaison program staffed by professionals that truly know the commercial fishing industry. He explained that the Vineyard Wind project is providing $1.75 million into a fisheries mitigation fund to promote coexistence between offshore wind development and longstanding fishing activities. The funds could be used for research, innovation, and promotion of local seafood. The New Bedford Port Authority is a member of an advisory panel established by Vineyard Wind. Carr said it's essential to understand that the impact on the fishing industry isn't necessarily limited to a particular geography near a wind energy area. He said it's rare that the closest areas to a wind area would suffer the most impact. He said that fish may be caught in the wind energy area, but it's most often landed and processed, and its true economic impact is elsewhere. For example, he said some of the most abundant scallop grounds are in the area known as New York Bight, off the coast of New Jersey. Mobile bottom gear, trawls and dredge, account for more than 70% of the catch and 96% of the revenue from that area. The vast majority of that catch and revenue from the bight comes to New Bedford, but not in any port in New Jersey. He said there is no definitive answer as to what areas would suffer the most impact and why. It's difficult to determine the areas most impacted, given the many unknowns related to offshore wind effects on the ocean ecosystem and on the fishery. That's why we continue to advocate for more research and analysis, particularly baseline assessments of all wind energy areas, so changes and impacts can be measured and quantified in the future. The DEIS states that Mayflower Wind would implement a compensation program for lost income for commercial and recreational fishing interests during construction and for a minimum of 5 years post-construction. However, Carr said 5 years is not enough when the entire time period for the project could last over 30 years. He said it's their hope and expectation that final guidance for mitigating impacts on commercial and recreational fisheries related to project siting, design, navigation, access, safety measures, and most importantly, financial compensation, will be completed before a final environmental impact statement is finalized. There is almost certainly going to be a ramp-up time or learning curve for fishermen to figure out how or if they will be able to fish in the WEAs, and the effects on the fishery will also develop over a time period. Given this, 5 years is far too short a time to fully understand the impacts, let alone to believe that the impacts will end in 5 years. Carr said South Coast Wind is taking the matter seriously. While we continue to have concerns about the federal regulatory approach to commercial fisheries mitigation, South Coast Wind is signaling that it takes the matter seriously, understands the importance of addressing such mitigation, and is determined to minimize its adverse effects on this critical, long-standing coastal industry. We hope that such efforts and commitment will be matched by BOEM and others in the future. He said, it's worth noting that, in addition to its commitment to mitigation, South Coast Wind has made a strong set of economic development commitments for different purposes, including port infrastructure, innovation, and entrepreneurship, and applied research. Our next front page story out of New Bedford. Staff at the Black Whale share what goes on inside the kitchen. The kitchen of the Black Whale is similar to being part of a performing orchestra. From servers to all different food stations, a raw bar and sushi, everyone must work together well to achieve rave reviews. The goal of service is to get guests what they want before they even know they want it. That's according to William Silverstein, the general manager. The Black Whale has a semi-open kitchen, allowing customers to see the kitchen and get a sense for the vibe and the buzz. According to Joshua Riazzi, the culinary advisor for all of Silverstein's restaurants, including Cisco Kitchen and Bar, this is beneficial for the cooks as they can get an interaction with how the food is going over in the dining room and adjust the speed of service if needed. It gives you a little bit of added pressure, but it comes with such an advantage, you get the connection to the dining room, he said. The advantages of having an open kitchen in a restaurant is it allows for a connection between the diners and kitchen staff and creates a sense of transparency. So busy days, you don't even have to wait for a server to tell you what's going on. You can really see it, Riazzi said. Inside the kitchen, every ingredient is inspected, weighed, and measured to ensure customers get good value and consistent cooking times. You have 4 ounces of fish. It's going to cook in the same amount of time every single time, Riazzi said. It's really easy for a chef to look at the food and say, okay, that looks done. But when you're busy, you really have to rely on your systems like timers. Every station has a ticket printer that prints out the tasks that need to be completed, and the station cook has to coordinate with other stations to make sure the food comes out quickly. It's basically the workflow for the station. You have to scan through this to see that there are dishes I'm coordinating with others. When ordering food, a server might ask if you want it together or separate. If it's all together, all the dishes for the table will wait until the entire order is ready before being sent to the dining room. However, if it's separate, dishes will be sent to the table as they become ready, allowing guests to begin eating while other dishes are being prepared. The Black Whale has a system for cooking dishes where it is less about individual cooks cooking the way they want to and more about following a standardized process on the equipment. According to Riazzi, this helps during busy rushes to make sure that everyone's on the same page when cooking, and that backups and ready for dishes like the clam chowder, which takes 30 minutes to heat up. The Black Whale's executive chef, Yehudi Lisi, who has been on and off with the Black Whale since 2011, said his job includes purchasing inventory, scheduling, and labor costs. My main goal when I come in the morning is to put in my schedule what gives me an idea about labor. Then I oversee everything around the kitchen, make sure everything's okay, cover breaks, and working with the sous chef. The Black Whale hires cooks with kitchen experience, but is willing to train them for any station. This restaurant is really all about trainers and training, added Riazzi. We usually lead somebody through till they've verified on that station and they're ready to go. Below the main kitchen is a systematized, it is systematized and has a steam jacketed kettle for making clam chowder. The storage area is organized with dairy, desserts, dressings, sauces, meat, seafood, and produce. The freezer is light compared to other restaurants, but most of the food is made from scratch. Back in the kitchen during service, there are three checks to ensure the food is of the highest quality. The first is the station chef who makes sure the food is prepared correctly and put in the window. The second is the expediter who gathers the food together, informs the server or food runner that it's ready, and the third is the server who inspects the food before taking it to the table. The goal is to make sure the food is served quickly and that salads, which have a limited shelf life, are delivered to diners within 4 minutes. An expediter is responsible for gathering the food and coordinating with the kitchen to prioritize tickets and make sure that orders are filled in a timely manner. This position is a key role in the restaurant as it is liaison between the kitchen and the wait staff. This job can be done by a chef, general manager, lead server, or assistant manager. It's a crucial position in order to ensure smooth communication between the two departments and prevent issues from slowing down service. And also note, no matter how bad your 30 minutes is going within service, whether you know your station is getting really hammered or not, service will be over in 3 hours. William Silverstein, the son of Steven Silverstein, who owns several restaurants such as the Sail Loft and Joe's Original, will sometimes serve as the expediter on top of his duties as general manager. The strategy in general is to make friends today, make money tomorrow. If we made a mistake, we will take care of it and do more. Silverstein said his goal is always to make sure the customers are happy and have a great experience. The Black Whale has a system of communication and trusts servers to handle situations. The restaurant also has a discount percentage for sales to provide extras for customers. We've found success in that model, said Steven Silverstein, and he's been doing it for 28 years. Our last story from the front page is from the Associated Press out of Washington. Poll: President Biden weak on economy and guns. As President Joe Biden embarks on his re-election campaign, just 33% of American adults say they approve of his handling of the economy, and only 24% say national economic conditions are in good shape. That's according to a new poll from the Associated Press, NORC Center for Public Affairs Research. Public approval of Biden's handling of the economy remains low in a time of high inflation, difficult housing market, and concerns about a potential U.S. government debt default. American opinion is gloomy about Biden's efforts on gun policy and immigration, with only 31% saying they approve of the president's performance on those hot-button issues. Overall, 40% say they approve of the way Biden's doing his job, similar to where his approval rating has stood for much of the past year and a half. Zoe Mosqueda, 24, who does not identify with any political party, said her family is ready to buy its first home. But with the mortgage interest rate hovering about 6.9%, that goal, at least for now, is out of reach. Mosqueda of West Texas said she's also been frustrated with Biden's handling of gun policy. She said he's fallen short on his campaign promise to implement a fairer immigration policy. A recent spate of mass shootings around the country, including this month's shooting at an Allen, Texas mall that left 8 victims dead and 7 others wounded, has left her wishing that Biden and lawmakers in Washington would do more to address the scourge of gun violence. Even among Democrats, the poll finds that only half approve of his handling of immigration and gun policy. Everything feels a bit crazy right now in this economy, Mosqueda said. She's a mother of two who works at a boutique and is looking to open her own business. in explaining her disapproval of Biden's performance, "My older daughter is in school now, and I just worry that this lack of gun policy stuff could affect her." Biden returned late Sunday from a visit from Hiroshima, Japan, for the annual G7 summit, where the global economic impact of Russia's invasion of Ukraine was front and center. The summit was shadowed by the Biden administration's negotiations with Republican lawmakers to raise the U.S. borrowing authority to prevent a default in early June. That could have severe impact on global economy. Before departing for Japan, Biden canceled stops in Papua New Guinea and Australia so he could return to the U.S. to focus on the debt limit talks. "It would be a total catastrophe for the country if they don't agree to do something." That's according to Bob Vaught, a retired auto parts warehouse manager in St. Petersburg, Florida. He said he strongly disapproves of Biden's handling of the economy. Vaught, who lives on his Social Security benefit, said inflation is taking a toll on his personal finances. The Biden administration oversaw two of the bigger Social Security cost-of-living adjustments in recent decades, with a 5.9% increase that took effect in 2022 and an 8.7% increase in 2023. But Vaught said that's not enough to keep up with the rental increase at the trailer park where he lives with his father and rising costs of food and other basic necessities. Vaught, an independent who typically votes Republican but voted for Biden in 2020, says he's been frustrated by the, quote, out-of-control rise in illegal crossings by migrants at the U.S. southern border. In 2022, the budget year which ended in September, agents apprehended immigrants at a record 2.38 million times at the southern border. Coronavirus restrictions implemented under President Donald Trump, which were known as Title 42, allowed border officials to turn away migrants to help stop the spread of COVID-19. Those restrictions recently ended. When Title 42 was used to deny asylum to more than 2.8 million people, it carried no legal consequences and therefore encouraged repeat attempts by migrants to enter the United States. Border Patrol agents returned to pre-pandemic immigration laws on May 11th. Those laws impose stiffer penalties on migrants who enter the U.S. without permission than the other emergency health order did. Despite his frustrations with Biden, Vaught said he'd probably vote for the Democrat again if Trump wins the Republican nomination. "I agree with about half of Trump's policies, but I think the guy is a liar and is so arrogant," Vaught said. "If those were the only two candidates, I'd still have to vote Biden." John Billman, 79, of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, said Biden doesn't get enough credit for the passage of the $1 trillion infrastructure bill and the $280 billion CHIPS Act aimed at boosting the U.S. semiconductor history, or the historically low unemployment rate. The unemployment rate stands at 3.4%. Billman, who approves of Biden's performance, said he feels the political conversation has become even more toxic since the January 6, 2021 insurrection at the Capitol. "Since January 6, there are so many that seem incredibly angry at the government, that think that the government and Biden are only doing bad things," Billman said. "I mean, it's an infrastructure bill. It's a bad thing? I have relatives who I respect and love and are intelligent people who say, I hate Biden. I can't understand disagreeing with him. But how can you hate Biden? It's scary. Biden underperforms on the economy, even among Democrats. 61% approve of him on the issue, compared to 75% for his job overall. Democrats feel even more dour about the current condition of the nation's economy, though they continue to be more likely than Republicans to say that the country is headed in the right direction, 36% versus 7%. Or to rate the economy as good, 41% versus 7%. Some Democratic respondents who approve of the president's performance say they felt flummoxed by life in post-pandemic America and what often seems like a total abandonment of bipartisanship in Washington. Karen DeAndrea, 64, a Democrat from Port Lucie, Florida, was among the millions of Americans who lost their jobs at the beginning of the pandemic. She was able to land a new one at a tech startup, but was recently laid off as that sector is going through some of the most significant cost-cutting since the Great Recession. "I think people with the same mindset as me feel like our best days are behind us," said DeAndrea. She approves of Biden's performance, but believes the country is moving in the wrong direction. "Republicans like to say they want to make America great again. I think things can be wonderful now, but we've got to work together." The poll of 1,680 adults was conducted May 11 through 15 using a sample drawn from NORC's probability-based AmeriSpeak panel. It was designed to be representative of the U.S. population. The margin of sampling error for all respondents is a plus-minus 3.4 percentage points. Alrighty, before we jump into the paper, I just wanted to note, yep, we did pass the middle of our recording. There were no obituaries or death notices, so we didn't miss it. We just didn't have any. So our next story from inside the paper is from Dartmouth. Police say black bear spotted in Dartmouth on Monday morning. A day after a black bear was spotted around Fall River on Sunday morning, another bear sighting was reported in Dartmouth on Monday morning. That's according to the police. The Dartmouth Police social media post from 10:05 a.m. on Monday includes a picture of what appears to be a black bear. Reportedly, it was from home surveillance in the area of Collins Corner Road. As in any case with a wild animal of this size and unpredictable demeanor, we recommend that you refrain from feeding or approaching it. In addition, we recommend that you do not leave your domestic pets unattended outside. The post goes on to say, the Massachusetts Environmental Police are aware of its presence in town. When asked how common bear sightings are in town, Dartmouth Police Detective Kyle Costa, a longtime member of the department, said it was a first for him. On Sunday morning, Fall River Police warned residents of multiple black bear sightings in the city's north end. They advised them to avoid the 5,000 block of North Main Street, as Massachusetts Environmental Police were working to locate and relocate the bear as quickly and safely as possible. That's according to a post on the FRPD's Facebook page. When asked on Monday if the bear spotted in Dartmouth is thought to be the same bear reportedly sighted around the north end of Fall River the day prior to Sunday morning, Costa said it was not known. It would be easier if they wore jersey with numbers, he said. Asked how common bear sightings are in the town of Dartmouth, Costa, a longtime member of the police department, said it was a first for him. According to Mass Wildlife, bears that find their way into populated areas are trapped and relocated, and in extreme cases where the bear is in a densely populated area and it becomes a nuisance. Another method of discouraging bears from being in the area is to remove their food sources and let them find their way back home. If you see a bear, do not attempt to approach it. Call the Massachusetts Environmental Police at 800-632-8075. In the event of an emergency, dial 911. Bears are wary of humans. If you see it, yell, clap, bang pots and pans, or make loud noises to frighten the bear. It will most likely leave, as well as any cubs that are with it. Do not attempt to shoot the bear. Do not leave any small pets unattended outside. Consider attaching bells or other noisemakers to your pet's collar if outside. If the bear is nearby, it may hear the unfamiliar noise and keep away. Take down bird feeders, Don't leave pet food outdoors. Keep your trash barrels closed and secured. And if you keep any beehives or live chickens outside, secure them behind an electric fence. Our next story is out of New York from the Associated Press. Venmo to be officially available to teenagers. Teenagers will officially be allowed to open a Venmo account with their parents' permission. The company said on Monday they're expanding the popular social payments app to an age demographic that is likely to embrace it almost immediately. Using Venmo won't necessarily be new to a good number of teens. Parents often set up accounts for their children through their own accounts, which is a violation of Venmo's terms of service. There have been guides on the internet for some time showing parents how to create a child's account without Venmo penalizing them. Venmo has been a very popular way to send money to individuals for years, and now it has more than 90 million users. The product, for teens, comes at a time when other social apps are being watched closely by politicians and regulators. The state of Montana banned TikTok last week. Opening up Venmo to teenagers will be a significant expansion of Venmo's market. Company executives in March estimated that a Venmo account for teens could create 25 million potential new customers. The company estimated that 9 million teenagers were using Venmo through their parents. The Venmo teen account will be available for 13 to 17-year-olds and comes with a debit card as well. Parents will be able to monitor transactions, adjust privacy settings, and move money to their teenager. Parents will also be able to lock and unlock the debit card and see whom the teenager is sending money to and receiving it from. Withdrawals from ATMs using the debit card will have a $400 daily limit, and users will need to withdraw money from participating ATMs or incur a $2.50 fee. Otherwise, there are no fees attached to creating or maintaining the account. Parents will be able to monitor up to 5 Venmo accounts for teenagers. Venmo acknowledged that opening the service to teenagers was done in response to frequent requests from users over the years. That's a nod to the fact that the teenagers were likely using the service already. The mainstream accounts provided to the teens have more security and identity verification and also give them access to a debit card. The next story is from the AP out of Tallahassee, Florida. Florida sued over law blocking property sales. A group of Chinese citizens living and working in Florida sued the state Monday over a new law that bans Chinese nationals from purchasing property in large swaths of the state. The law applies to properties within 10 miles of military installations and other, quote, critical infrastructure. It also affects citizens of Cuba, Venezuela, Syria, Iran, Russia, and North Korea. But Chinese citizens and those selling property to them face the harshest penalties. The prohibition also applies to agricultural land. The American Civil Liberties Union says the law will have a substantial chilling effect on sales to Asian people who can legally buy property. The suit says the law unfairly equates Chinese people with the actions of their government, and there is no evidence of national security risk from Chinese citizens buying Florida property. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis is expected to launch a presidential campaign this week, and he signed the bill on May 8th. His office did not immediately respond to an email seeking comment. The law is set to take effect July 1st. It will be a felony for Chinese people to buy property in restricted areas or for any person or real estate company to knowingly sell to restricted people. Foreign land ownership has become a political flashpoint. According to Micah Brown, a staff attorney for the National Agricultural Law Center at the University of Arkansas. This has been the New England Standard Times out of New Bedford. This is Mary, your reader. Have a wonderful week and be well.